I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
One Adam 12 in pursuit of 211 suspect. Bronze Chevrolet convertible, license number Sam Charles Ida, 154, northbound on Los Feliz from Vermont.
All units on all frequencies, stand by. One Adam 12 is in pursuit. One Adam 12, repeat the description of the suspect's vehicle.
Bronze Chevrolet convertible, license number Sam Charles Ida, 154.
One Adam 12, you are not readable. Repeat your location.
We're back again with police officer Mike Hancock, proprietor of the website oneadam12-oneadam12.com, right here on the TV Time Machine. What is the difference between TV cop shows now and Adam 12 then?
Well, you know, I think today they just, I have to confess, I don't watch a lot of them at all today, but from what I know of them, I think, you know, there's so much of the CSI, and they try to get more into the scientific lab work, that type of thing, versus the road everyday duties of a road patrol officer. And the only thing, obviously, that comes close to that is the cop show, and obviously, that's real because it's real. And so that is a good show. I used to watch that a lot. Obviously, just, you know, when you're in the, you like to critique things or see, oh, they, you know, they don't do that, or, you know what I mean. So I think mostly it changed just from, this is what daily police officers have to deal with as far as road patrol versus, okay, you know, do the crime scene and you got all the fancy science stuff.
I think what makes Adam 12 particularly unique, especially compared to TV shows now, is the fact that not all of their stories had an end. So in that way, it was like real life, where you don't always neatly tie up everything at the end.
Right. Yeah, there were a lot of episodes where it was just, you're almost left hanging, right, and you're left to make your own decision of what happened, which is kind of nice in a way, because, you know, you can write your own ending. Did that guy that got shot, did he die? Did he live? These sorts of things. And so I almost think that Jack Webb did this on purpose, just to maybe draw the audience in a little more, to be more of a, you know, make them feel like they're a part of the show.
What do you miss most about being a police officer?
I think just the being out there, you know, being in the community, know what's going on, just knowing that you're there, you can do the job, you can help if needed, the excitement of it, there's 1,000 little things that all go into it. But I think just the being out there in the community and helping is the biggest thing that I miss.
What would you say to someone who is contemplating a career in law enforcement?
Go for it. I mean, you know, you have to be a very strong person, not physically, but mentally, because it's a very demanding job mentally. Nowadays, they just about have to be a lawyer, because there's so many critiques of the laws now, you know, in every state and city, you know, are different. But if you can do it, it'll be the best job you've ever had. But there's a lot of, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, I could do that, no problem. But one of the first things I ask you is, like, can you kill, actually take someone's life that has, you don't know, they've never done any harm to you or your family?
Right.
Because you may be put in that situation, and you can't decide at that time. And, you know, only you can answer that for yourself. But if you truly feel that you cannot, it's not a job for you. Now, obviously, you don't go into it, you know, you hope you never have to pull your gun. But it's the profession where you probably will. And you have to, you have to act instantly. And you have to be able to do it to save your life, your partners, your innocent bystanders.
And that was depicted early on in the first season of Adam 12 with Jim Reed, where he shot a suspect and then he had to be investigated by internal affairs and he felt like he was being persecuted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and because, you know, and that was way back before, you know, there's a lawyer on every corner waiting to sue you. And so they have to make sure everything was done correctly by the book. You know, people think that, you know, cops investigating cops, and they've dealt with that issue on the show. You know, well, yeah, you guys are investigating yourself. Boy, you're really going to find some, you know, bad things, aren't you? No, they're, in this on Dragna as well, they're harder on the officers
yes.
than anybody else.
Right.
Because that's the face. You know, like the, you know, whenever something bad, whenever an officer does something bad, it gives every police officer out there a black eye. And so they have to make sure that it doesn't look like there's any favoritism, it wasn't anything. And so they are actually harder investigating any type of shooting or that type of thing more than I think anybody even realizes.
I think one of the things that was particularly accurate on the show, and it was really interesting that the show was on the air at this time, is when there was more of an emphasis on civil rights and the suspect's constitutional rights, reading their Miranda rights, that sort of thing, and what police officers had to deal with at that time. Of course, that's only intensified throughout the years. How accurate was that depiction, and how much can you relate to that in terms of civil rights and constitutional rights of a suspect?
Well, you're obviously always aware of it. You know, and you're trained into how to act, what to do, what you can do, what you can't do. You know, in everybody's presumed innocent, you know, until proven guilty. And everyone, no matter how heinous the crime, whatever, everyone has the constitutional rights in this country. And you have to treat everyone as having those rights. And I don't think a whole lot has changed from then till now, as far as that goes. You know, police officers still say, still deal with a lot of the same subjects that they did then. And a lot of it is the same today as it was then. So on a lot of aspects of that, not a whole lot has changed.
Now, because of Adam 12, you created, in real life, something that is seen in every episode of the show. Tell us what that is.
That is a 1969 Plymouth Belvedere with a 383 Super Commando 727 torque flight transmission and all the working equipment original that was on a Los Angeles police car in 1969.
Now, when did you start that project, and what gave you the idea?
Well, I had an old Army Jeep that I had done a lot of work on redoing it. You know, it was on eBay one day, and I don't even know how it came up, but I saw an Adam 12 replica for sale. And, of course, my jaw dropped, thinking, holy cow, are you kidding me? You know, I'd never thought of it. Of course, it was way out of my price range, and so I, long story short, talked to buddies. Said, "Well, yeah, you know, we could probably do one." And found a car down in Mobile, Alabama. Drove down there, going off of one picture, got it, hauled it back up here to Michigan, where I'm from, and started going at it. And I started tracking down equipment. And a friend of mine, Jim Bird, had started doing the bodywork and paint. And another friend, Todd Johnson, started helping with that and equipment, and 3 months later, had a roughed out version painted, the equipment on, and there it was, sitting right there.
Wow. How accurate is your car?
I would think that I'm as anal about things as Jack Webb was. To phrase it. To me, if I'm going to do this car, because really, for me, it's a tribute to them, the show, to Kent McCord, Martin Milner, you know, Tom Williams, everybody that was associated with that, with the production of that show, writers, and the Los Angeles Police Department. So I go out of my way to make sure it is correct as possible, because when people are looking at it, I want them to see the car like it was in 1969.
Right.
And so that's why it's so important to me to have everything correct on it.
How tough was that to find the parts necessary to recreate an exact replica?
Well, the radios aren't real hard, okay, you know, because they use them in ambulances, fire trucks, that type of thing. Same thing with the chrome speaker on top. They use them in ambulances, you know, fire engines, that kind of thing. Now, the T2 can lights from Trio, those are the jewel to find. those can be very hard. But once you kind of start getting into the hobby, there is a lot of networking that you do with different people that you meet that are in the hobby. A real good website that I found right off the bat is called copcar.com. And there are some real smart guys there, and they know all about this stuff. And so they helped out a lot with tracking stuff down, talking to other members. I actually did find my lights from another member who had them for about 15 years sitting on a shelf for a car he was going to do but never got around to in Delaware. And so, you know, I got them from him. And you can come across them, but the lights are the hardest thing to find.
What is in and on your car?
Well, you have the Trio 2 T2 can lights on top.
Right.
And the Federal speaker. Then inside, there's the light control, which has, you know, two toggle switches for the amber and siren horn with a spotlight. The Federal Interceptor is a PA-20A. That's the siren PA system, that type of thing. And then the Motorola radio head and the Motorola speaker, the MoTeC radio, which was actually, the radio itself is huge, and it's mounted in the truck. When people see the radio head in the car, they think that's the radio.
Right.
That plugs into the radio, which is in the trunk. And then the decaling, of course, the paint and the hot sheet desk, which I have not seen a true hot sheet desk original anywhere ever. I did get blueprints from a retired LAPD officer that had sketched out the exact dimensions of it to the letter of how it was made. So I'm hoping to go off of those and get one of those made at some point. But it was like a stamp backing on it, and it's going to be pretty hard to duplicate today without spending a whole bunch of money. So I may go with a replica that I have for now.
How long did it take you to create that car?
I am in year 4.
Right.
And I am almost done. But
oh, so it's still a work in progress then?
Yeah. surprisingly, you know, some of these guys are working on the cars for like 10, 15 years.
Wow.
But, you know, I said I was done one time, and about a week later, it cost me about $1,500 or something I broke. So so I'll never be done with it. I will never claim to be done with it. But I'm 99.9% close to being done.
Now, approximately how many other people out there do you think own replica or have created replica Adam 12 cars?
Well, on my website, I list in right now. I think I'm up to five or six on the website as far as the ones that that have them. And that I've seen them in pictures and heard about people that said that they've got one. It's hard to tell, Jim, but it's one of those things you usually don't miss, mm-hmm. When you see one.
Right.
you know what it is. So it's hard to tell. I would dare guess, and I'm just total guessing here, but I would say probably 50 or less.
Wow.
In the country. In one of the Detective Gonzalez, who's out of San Antonio, Texas, he found one that was, I believe, in Canada, and I've heard of them being in Europe as well. They're everywhere.
Now, people, including yourself, take the cars around, put them on display. How does that work?
Well, normally, there are some dedicated antique police car shows. There's a nice one in Manhattan in New York City. There's one in Chicagoland, antique police car show in Chicago. Detroit, the Woodward Cruise, the famous Woodward Cruise. We actually do the show at the Ferndale Police Department, which is a suburb of Detroit. And what we do is we do the show. And it's emergency vehicle show, so there's usually some ambulances, fire trucks, but mostly police cars. And there's every kind of police vehicle that you can imagine out there. Different states, different cities, different years. For whatever, some guys they either worked at the department or knew somebody or just liked the car. So it's really individual thing when it comes to police car hobbies.
Have you taken your car to Los Angeles?
Not yet, but it's on the list. I've I've gone to New York for 3 or 4 years, Chicago 3 or 4 years, Detroit a few years, but that is going to be my next. I got to make that trip.
Now, how would that work? Would you need, in order to drive that car on L.A. streets, how does that work? Do you need a permit? Do you have to talk to people? How would that work?
And I don't know, Jim. I would contact the LAPD, obviously, before I went. Mm-hmm. Now, I do know that there are Adam 12 replicas in L.A. There's a Ripon car show that is quite large and popular, and I've seen pictures of them driving there and that type of thing. So I don't know what their, laws are on that, and that every state is different. So what I would have to do is, when I plan my route, I would have to check with each state to see what their policy is,
right?
and go from there. But I would definitely drive it out there. People always ask me, "Do you do trailer to drive it?" It's like, I rebuilt the motor in this. I've laid underneath this car, I think, more than my bed. I'm driving it.
Right.
I built it to drive it, right. to have fun with it. And like in my shows, anybody can sit in it that wants to and get a picture taken or anything else. And is it okay if I sit in it? It's like, if you sit in that car and break it, I did something wrong. have at it. I made up a replica uniform from 69 for LAPD. Right. And I usually always have the shirt with me, so when little kids are in or whatever, I let them put that shirt on. The smile on their face is amazing, and they just they have a ball and they get to take pictures, and I'd like to think that may be a spark for them to get into law enforcement someday as well.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with police officer Mike Hancock, proprietor of the website OneAdam12-OneAdam12.com, right here on the TV Time Machine.